Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Jack Kelly, director of the National Weather Service. Well, Jack, when you were named director of the Weather Service in 1998, what was the organization like when you arrived, and what are some of the biggest changes you've initiated since you've been there?
Well, there's two different facets of the organization. The first facet is our ability to issue weather forecasts and issue warnings, and that was really good. And is getting better. The area where we in fact had some challenges were in what I'll call the management of acquisition programs. We had an information technology program called the Advanced Weather Interactive Processing System. It's a great system. We couldn't do our job today as well as we do it without it. But when I took it over, Weather Service, the program was suffering schedule delays, cost overruns. And so we put in place some stronger program management, put in some more focus on, we determined some metrics to track what we were doing. We put in a program control function to get that program under control, because it was in the limelight, was getting us a lot of bad press, a lot of bad Congress wasn't happy, the Secretary of Commerce wasn't happy. So we got that program under control. The other thing, and I mentioned it earlier in the organization, I wanted to change the leadership and management culture, which tended to be top down. I wanted to push decision making to the lowest practical level in the organization. We put in place some metrics in terms of where are we in terms of execution of our budgets. We put in place some metrics and where are we in terms of our technical performance. I wanted to essentially give up control of most of the decision making to push it down to lower levels in the organization. At the same time, I wanted everyone to understand that we were then going to start holding them accountable for both what they did and what they didn't do. Because once you give people the authority to make decisions, they've got to act. And so I wanted them to understand that, one, you were accountable for making a decision, and if you didn't make a decision when you should have been making a decision, there was some accountability for that. So I don't think we were doing anything different when I took over from the current view of today's management. Kind of, if you look at what Jack Welch attempted to do in GE, we tried to do some of those things.
Well, can you tell us more about the Advanced Weather Interactive Processing System and how it changed operations?
The one thing that's happened in the Weather Service the last 10 years, it's been modernized, we have significantly increased the amount of data that the forecaster has. The forecaster then needed some tool to turn that data into information, so that they could then use that information and their brain power to make into knowledge, make a weather forecast. So the heart and soul of our forecast office today is this computer system called the Advanced Weather Interactive Processing System. It takes that data, allows the forecaster to manipulate the data, take a look at different representations of how the atmosphere might unfold, and then make a forecast. It's a good system, but as I said, it had a history of some problems. Not unlike other information technology systems that are out there, but it's in place. We put the last system in last June. And it's done great for us.
Now, I know that technology has become an increasingly important part in terms of your success, and the Weather Service was recently given a Government Technology Leadership Award from Government Executive Magazine for AWIPS. And I'm wondering how all this technology is improving customer service.
Actually, we got an award from Government Executive. We also got an award from the Smithsonian for the Advanced Weather Interactive Processing System, which proves one of Kelly's adages: nothing succeeds like success. So we took a program that had a checkered reputation into one that's now used as an example. But what it's enabled us to do, what all the new technology has enabled us to do, is increase the lead time and the accuracy of our weather warnings. We have doubled our tornado lead time. We have more than tripled the lead time on our flash flood warnings. And so what we are doing is we are giving the citizens of this country more time to know that adverse weather that could destroy property or actually killed, proved fatal to them, is coming, so then they can make an informed judgment as to what action to take. The technology has enabled us year by year to improve the accuracy of our track forecast for hurricanes. So the customer service, what the citizen of this country sees, is more accurate forecasts as a result of that technology.
And how are the employees of the Weather Service adopting to all this technology?
One of the things that we did when we made the decision to modernize the Weather Service, and while most of the focus was on the new technology that was going in, we did two other things too. Across the board, we raised the educational level of the forecaster and hydrologist, or the worker of the Weather Service, and two, spent over $85 million on training, because our view was that without training, you won't be able to use all this new the new technology. So the reason the workforce can use the new technology is we've invested a fair amount in training, and we continue to invest a lot of money in training to continually refresh the knowledge of our forecasters. Now, if you go talk to the workforce of the Weather Service, I'll tell you we don't do enough. And I'm not quite sure you can ever do enough, but we do recognize we need to do that. And each year we have distant learning courses that people can take. We have a national training center. We send our forecasters to Boulder to the University Corporation of Atmospheric Research, where we have a cooperative with the Navy, the Air Force, and the FAA, a cooperative training program.
And what feedback do you get from customers on these improvements? I guess an average person like me would never get to report on how great the weather forecasts I see are, but in terms of the airlines and those type of organizations.
I think the best feedback we get is the feedback we get from citizens who tell us, had it not been for your warning, I would have lost my life. We get feedback like testimonials like that. But we also maintain, we had last week what we call a partners workshop, and we brought in emergency managers, the private sector, the FAA, to sit down and talk to them about, all right, how are we doing? What can we do better? We held at the American Meteorological Society national meeting in January, where you have about 9,000 people who work in the weather field together. We had a town hall meeting on Sunday, a two-hour session where we spent a little bit of time telling them where we're going the next year, and then got feedback. I'm going tomorrow to meet with the Georgia emergency managers, and trust me, I'm going to hear from them about how well we're doing or how well we're not doing.
Well, great. It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.